Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, The Proactive Manager, Chapter 2, Meetings, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, can I change the meetings I run? How can I change the meetings I run? And can I change the meetings my team attends? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Executives need to exhibit managerial behaviors in addition to paying attention to competition, the industry environment, and many other external factors. Learn how to leverage your managerial acumen into skills that will serve you well as an executive. And learn it from the best. From Mark Horstman. Contact us by emailing Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn the details of a 5-month executive coaching engagement with Mark. Now let's get into the meetings bit of it, starting with our section on a review of your internal team meetings. So during this first 90 days, you were keeping track of all of the meetings that your team was regularly attending. We recommend you think about them, right? Collect that list of the weekly, bi-weekly, in terms of every second week, bi-weekly, fortnightly, and monthly meetings during that first 90 days so that beyond the 90-day period, you can determine what you're going to do with them. And there are three ways you can do it. The first is to keep track of the meetings you attend and also check for already scheduled recurring meetings that you attend. Make a digital shareable list, if you will, with your team somewhere in which the meetings you yourself go to and their frequency, as well as anyone else who attends, is collected. And this list of attendees doesn't have to be perfect. It just captures the key players who will be joining you or attending these meetings with you. Now, there are other options.
Yeah, you can also ask each member of your team and your one-on-ones with them to do the same thing and contribute to your list. You don't want to do this all by yourself, right? Assign keeping track of this list to one of your directs so you're not in there editing and cleaning up other people's work, so on, right? You can also ask everyone to present their lists after 6 weeks or so. That's long enough. You could probably do it in 4 in their one-on-ones with you. Just remember, that doesn't mean you have to be the one who inputs their meetings into the shared repository.
Yeah.
They could brief you on them, and you could say, okay, we've already got that one, so you don't need to redo that one. But this other 3 that you go to, yeah, go ahead and post them in the online spreadsheet.
Exactly, yeah. And there's also a third way to do it. That is to have everyone come to one of your staff meetings and brief everyone else on the team on their review of the meetings they attend. Now, the beauty of this technique is everyone gets to hear about everyone else's meetings, and the learnings that come from the activity get socialized more broadly and more quickly.
I learned this from a boss I had at Procter & Gamble, and the one thing I haven't included, and we probably should have here, was in addition to reporting on the meetings you attend, right, just attendance, it's also like, do you have any suggestions for it? So you could have the far right column of the spreadsheet saying what works and what doesn't work about it. Now, there'll be a couple people who say things that basically prove I hate all meetings. And by the way, if you have one of those people on your team, you should tell them, look, you're going to have to go to some meetings. I'm sensitive that, you know, you do other stuff and that takes you away from what you think of as your real work, but it is real work. And my recommendation to you is you keep quiet about the fact that you don't like any meetings. We're going to have efficient meetings here.
Yeah, it's not about liking or not liking.
Yeah, and you'll just come across as a whiner. Let me tell you, I don't like writing performance reviews, but I do it. And I don't complain to you guys when I do it, which would make you think that I'm not any good at it. So pipe down a little bit over there. And by the way, I'm not asking you, first of all, you don't have any freedom of speech here, but I'm not asking you to not speak up on everything. I'm telling you, it's politically ineffective for you to complain all the time about meetings. You're going to be the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, exactly. So in these 3 methods, hopefully, you can see that with each of the processes, we haven't created a new meeting to review and improve our existing meetings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for the purpose of this is get rid of meetings, not make another meeting. Now,
yeah.
Now that you've got a somewhat comprehensive list of meetings, you don't have to follow our detailed guidance, which we'll get to in a moment. If you find something that cries out for immediate change, I mean, it's obvious, it is glaring that this thing needs to be canceled. If everyone hates the meeting, or you can tell there's a far better way, which may or may not be a meeting that needs to happen, right now, just kill it. I mean, just stop the meeting from happening. It doesn't have to be a review that withstands some sort of professional scrutiny,
exactly.
Right? Oh my gosh, we have to review this thing for a million years.
Yes.
These are your team's meetings and you
your
can kill team. Them.
Your team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your team's meetings. You can kill them without any approval or seeking any organizational standards or anything else other than you saying, we are not doing this anymore. It doesn't work.
Yeah. And your team's going to love you.
They're going to love you.
They really will. Now, look, we're not saying, don't go hog wild here. We're not saying that anyone gets to kill any meeting they want to. Your peremptory decisions about one or two or five meetings isn't available to anyone who says some meeting should stop.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a vote, folks, okay? But you do want their input. They may have a really good case for the elimination of a particular meeting, but it is your call and not theirs. Now, if you've known your team for 12, 18 months and you got a couple people who are really smart and really good, and there is a meeting that they run for you and they come back to you and say, hey, I really don't think we need this meeting anymore because our guys are doing good internal reporting. You can loosen that restriction that only you get to make that decision and they can recommend to you and then go ahead and kill something for a good reason. No problem.
Exactly. All right. So the next bit of this is we do recommend that you establish the two baseline standards. That is one-on-ones and weekly staff meetings. So during this process, again, you're going to be discussing meetings. You're going to be talking about what could we potentially get rid of? What do I attend? Make sure you're clear that the two standing meetings that are non-negotiable, not up for potential cancellation, are weekly one-on-ones and your weekly staff meeting. These are standard baseline meetings of all effective managers. And you can absolutely insist on them and you, the manager of the team, can structure them however you see fit.
Yeah. When we say baseline meetings, what we mean is there are some things where you can insist on it in the same way the company insists on badges and accounting procedures and so on. And when it comes to your team, you have role power to insist on certain standing baseline core not to be messed with meetings. Just because someone doesn't like them, and
yeah,
roughly 40% of all employees would prefer no meetings.
Yeah, no meetings at all.
Now, there's two parts to that. Years ago, my firm contributed some data, and we discovered that the people who like no meetings don't like meetings for two reasons. One, because there's a good component of that 40% that don't want to talk to anybody else. They're not sociable, not friendly, don't want to talk to people, don't want to talk in front of other people, want to send email. These are the high C's of the world generally, and sometimes the high S's. But the other part, hate meetings because they're so inefficient, because the high D's run rampant over them, because there's no agenda and so on. If you fix that part, you'll have a higher percentage of people who go, yeah, I'll go to a meeting. Around here, we don't sit around and jaw for 20 minutes or wait until somebody who shows up late, and they're always late, before we start on time and shame the, we don't shame the guy, but I hope he feels ashamed that he can't seem to arrive at any meeting on time, which always makes me wonder about what colleagues, what people outside of our team's meetings is he showing up late to? And I sure hope it's not customers or vendors.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So the next bit then, eliminate unnecessary internal team meetings. Now, we mentioned earlier that there are some meetings you'll immediately realize are completely unnecessary and you can kill them officially as you're gathering data during the review process. Now, to be perfectly clear, it's much more likely that you'll have to consider the input from everyone and make some decisions.
Yeah.
Basically, you want to put every meeting into one of a few categories. The first one is killed, with no replacement meeting of any type.
My favorite.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite. And these ones should be obvious And we follow our guidance on reporting where you kill a report and pay attention to what happens without it.
Yeah.
If nothing appears to happen, the decision stands. For those people, Mark, who are new to our audience, what podcast is this kill reporting in? Called Delegation to the Floor, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with our guidance on killing that report, there's a podcast called Delegation to the Floor.
And we talked about it last episode of The Proactive Manager. Our first one was on reporting, not on meetings. So that's where we dig into it a lot. But the underlying principle comes from Delegate to the Floor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, look, if you kill a meeting and there's some legitimate turbulence that happens from that inside the team or even outside the team, please don't immediately reinstate the meeting. Figure out how to address the turbulence without a meeting. Maybe it's a report. Maybe it's some standing regular internal communications, whatever. Maybe it's adding an agenda item to another existing meeting, like your staff meeting. This is your team. Your meeting should reflect your priorities, not simply accepting that previous boss's ideas and his or her status quo, whatever it was. Maybe they just took over and didn't change anything. And now you're talking about something that was started two managers ago, which is eons and dog years. Some meetings are just like government systems. They serve little to no value, and they seem to persist despite that. I've told people before, I used to live in Fredericksburg, Texas, a great, great town. And there are still farmers there getting paid for the number of goats that deliver mohair. It's a government program, and it was initiated during World War II to get more farmers to have more mohair goats because World War II uniforms were made out of wool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no military uniform other than formal dress uniforms for which they don't need extra farmers growing mohair goats. Mm-hmm. And yet they're still getting paid. And that's not, I mean, the Rural Electrification Administration in the United States still exists. Rural America is pretty well electrified. Thank you very much. So same thing with meetings. People start stuff and nobody thinks to kill it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and remember what we just talked about. I mean, the thought of or the idea of turbulence, your manager might say, oh, you canceled that meeting? Oh.
Yeah.
That feels like turbulence, but they're not saying, oh, no. I'd reinstate that meeting immediately. Do that. Like, that's not what they're saying. Remember, like, you're going to feel some things. You're going to hear some things are going to, questioning might happen. Yeah. And you're going to feel like that's turbulence. That doesn't mean we need to restart this meeting.
Yeah.
And in terms of the meeting cancellation, the meeting killing, while it is your team, don't hesitate to accept recommendations on how to address the part of the killed meeting that does have some sort of value. Now, your team is probably more likely at this point, given you're relatively new, to know a little bit more about what that right solution might be. But keep that in mind. You don't have to kill a meeting if you're like, well, 10% might be useful, fully kill it, and then just like live without the 10%. There might be a 10% that could be done a different way, through a report or through a stand-up or through a something, some other version, an email that's sent out once a week, whatever it may be. There could be ways, and your team might know them.
Yeah. The second category, we talked about kill, right? Mm-hmm. The second category a meeting to be put into is called modified, right? Uh-huh. There may be legitimate gripes with a meeting, but it's a meeting that is necessary enough, important enough to continue. Maybe it's too long, okay? That's normal. Maybe it's got a couple of agenda items that are unnecessary. The topics are OPE, or maybe something never changed. Maybe they could be moved to a different meeting or could simply be turned into regular reporting rather than everybody having to hear the report verbally, which takes time and is expensive. Have the person who is reporting send a report. Who is reporting in the meeting, simply send a digital electronic email link to a spreadsheet, whatever. Or it could be subsumed into one person's one-on-one because that person is the one that reports. And really, they're just reporting to you and nobody else in the team really benefits enormously from that particular area.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And then there's the third category. A meeting could be put into the overall topic of attendance has changed. While this change could be made in a modified meeting.
Sure, yeah. You could say it's going to modify it. We're going to change the agenda, but we're also going to change who comes there.
Exactly. There'll definitely be some meetings, though, as well, where attendance changes are the only change that might need to occur. And we want to keep this category as an additional option because too many folks forget that changing attendance usually involves changing it to have fewer people invited. Exactly. Which oftentimes will do wonders for a meeting. I mean, sometimes the reason it's not as effective as it could be is there's a bunch of people in the room that don't need to be there and they're chiming in and giving opinions on a bunch of things that they don't need to be chiming in on. And then the meeting goes long and all of these other things. So attendance change is definitely one of those categories.
Yeah. And the ideal way to have these discussions is all at the same time. Usually in your staff meeting, you put the shared list up there on the screen, if you've got one, right? Please avoid creating a slide deck, a PowerPoint deck out of an Excel document. It's just such a bad thing. Well, oh no, we use PowerPoint. So yeah, it's just unnecessary.
It's extra work that doesn't need to be done.
And basically what you do is you announce each meeting, or better yet, have somebody who attends the meeting announce it and essentially lead the discussion on that meeting and have somebody else make a recommendation of kill or modify or attendance change. Have them or one of the other attendees explain the rationale. And what you want to do is delegate keeping a visual record of the decisions made either on a flip chart. That's my favorite. A whiteboard. I also like whiteboards. You can take pictures of them, right? Mm-hmm. Or you could type into the digital record. Although if it's a spreadsheet and it's 10-point type and you haven't magnified it, that can be a problem. Yeah. And so everybody can see what's happening and why it's happening. And they ought to be smart enough to know, oh, okay, that meeting's going away. I need to take it off my calendar. And the person who's responsible for that calendar invite ought to say, send out a note saying, yeah, that meeting doesn't happen anymore.
Exactly. So now that we're all together in the room and we're all looking at this list of meetings, we'd recommend you, manager, lead a brief discussion.
Yeah.
Capture the decisions. Assign someone to notify everyone of the changes. Assign
not
someone,
you.
Because it shouldn't be you.
Please.
You're just because you're the manager and you're essentially the one that's made this decision, you should not be the admin that's making all of this occur.
And I should have said this years ago. I don't think I've ever said this before. But let's be clear about something, folks. If you manage a team of people, okay, everybody's going to say they're too busy. Mm-hmm. And so, every time I try to delegate to somebody, they all say they're too busy. Folks, here's a lesson for you. You are busier than them. Busyness is not a defense against more work. In fact, they're probably busy with things that are unimportant. And we've talked about that in the juggling koan and delegating to the floor and so on. But folks, do not let your people say, you say, well, Roger, I want you to notify. I've got tons of stuff to do. You just want to look at them and say, so do I.
Yeah. Of course you do.
Like we all do. So we're going to make the team better. It won't take you 5 minutes. Get it done and then move on. And everybody will benefit from the one less meeting we all have to go to.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So what we'd suggest is that you have one of the meeting's attendees capture it and be responsible for notifying everyone of the changes by email afterward. And that person is also responsible for the electronic calendar and cleaning up any resulting invitations that are no longer required or new invitations that are now required to be made. And if a change in one meeting causes a change to be made in another, make a note in that other meeting's entry because you might end up having to cancel or kill that meeting.
Right.
Once you've begun the new meeting you've created. And so you'll have to decide what to do, what additional recommendations come out of that meeting that aren't being covered by the new meeting that you've created and the like. I mean, it's like a domino effect, right? It could cause other changes elsewhere, but make note of that so that you then revisit those. We don't want this to be a review all the meetings one-time activity and not collect the other ones that might need to be changed down the road as well.
Yeah. And finally, you may realize there's a need for a new meeting. Be careful with them. You don't want to cut out two and then create three.
Yeah.
Make sure that you can't achieve the goal of the meeting without some reporting or other non-meeting way of doing it. And here's maybe the most important guidance here of all. Going back to the issue of, I don't know what the right thing is, and other managers clearly must know what the right thing is, and I don't, so I'm afraid to do. If I don't know the right thing, by definition, anything I do is going to be wrong, and I hate being wrong, let alone hate being wrong in public. So I'm not going to do anything. Well, here's here's the beginning of your solution to getting back into a proactive mode as a manager, which you are required to be if you're going to be effective. And that is, understand that rightness is not the answer. And that means definitely perfection is not the answer. Don't shoot for perfection. You're going to make these changes, and then there are going to be some further changes based on unforeseen implications of whatever you did. Tell your team that attendees of any meeting can come back to a staff meeting with a further change. They could totally do that. And it's fine. Yeah, the world changes. And so we change right along with it, despite the people that don't want any change at all.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And folks, note or also keep in mind during this activity that there will be some meetings that are, I should say, there may be some meetings that are internal, but still have organizational implications. So for instance, you can't decide to kill Scrum meetings. Is there an organizational standard? I mean, like some things are not on the chopping block because of other reasons. You can make changes to those meetings, make them more effective, make them more beneficial, change the attendance potentially, as long as they still serve their purpose and satisfy organizational requirements. So no, you might need to find, or in your creation of a list, identify the ones that are required as organizational imperatives and what the restrictions around the cancellation or meeting attendance changes you might want to make are, in order to have an educated conversation in that meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Looking for virtual management training? Good news. We're hosting a virtual EMC starting on April 29th at 1 p.m. Eastern. Sessions run April 29th through May 2nd, so you can knock out all four sessions in just 1 week. Sign up online and learn how to be a good manager. If you just got promoted, if you want to brush up on your skills, or if maybe you want to be a manager in the future, we can teach you how. You won't even have to leave your desk. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay, next up on our agenda is review external meetings. This is something that too many managers don't do. They can grok the idea of, okay, I can mess with my own meetings, but really, can I play in the bigger sandbox and maybe make some changes to external meetings? The answer is yes. They're harder because you don't have total control, but you can make a decision to change who attends or for you or your attendees to make a recommendation for to kill, modify, or attendance change as an attendee at somebody else's meeting. And same thing, track those deliverables and ask for status reporting in upcoming meetings about what you're doing. If you decide that there's an external meeting that needs to have a change, have the person who attends potentially go ahead and talk to the meeting manager if possible. Now, you know, if they're not you, if they're one level below you and the people they're meeting with are your level or above, those changes probably aren't going to happen, but there's nothing wrong with being on the record as having suggested them. I know if somebody who attended my meeting said, hey, I'd like to make a change, I don't really care how it affects their team as long as, I assume the recommendation they're making will improve their team. But if they said to me, hey, I think we could do this, I could make a snap decision. Yeah, I don't think that changes anything too much. Good. Okay, no problem. Do it. And by the way, since you've got good ideas about meetings, I want you to facilitate the meeting going forward.
One less thing for me to do. Yeah, exactly. Probably, folks, one of the easiest changes a proactive manager can make is to have, or to this these external meetings, I should say,
right,
is to have someone at a lower level in your org attend a meeting. So, for example, for you to delegate the attendance of a meeting you currently attend to someone on your team. Now, this is especially true if you're a director and could delegate your or one of your manager's attendance to someone who is a level beneath the present attendee. Usually someone who's a high performer, usually somebody or certainly somebody who's known as maybe the number two, right? Or that right hand, that individual who is being groomed for a higher level. And that gives them an opportunity to get some maybe visibility, make some connections or relationships with people external to the organization. It might be a great opportunity for them to start doing some of that before is necessary.
Yeah. I like to say about this, about delegating meeting attendance, is it's not wrong, because when you're on vacation, somebody will go for you. And if it's you and your peers meeting and you want to, while you're on vacation, if you want to have your number two or delegate attendance to somebody, there's no problem. And your peers can't argue that at all. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And your team needs to know what's going on. And you can't rely on other people who aren't running your team to inform your team of decisions that were made and so on while you were on vacation. The question is whether or not that could be extended into going more often. Typically, it's a political thing. Can your person politically fight to get the things they need, or will they get run over? And in some cases, there are senior people who say, well, what we talk about here is very classified. No, it's not. It just isn't. You're not launching thermonuclear weapons out of submarines. It's
unless
not that big
you
of
are.
Deal. Yeah, unless you are.
Unless you story. Are, and you yeah. might be. Okay, so yes, these changes to these external meetings are somewhat more delicate. And you're going to have to be careful. The new attendee can be successful supporting the team if they're outranked by other attendees. One thing that I often recommend managers do if they have a sensitivity around, I don't know, I'm a little bit worried the people in the meeting might eat them alive, is do like a pre-wire activity. For example, bring the number two in this case, bring them to meetings with you for a couple of months, and then you yourself just stop going. That way you've facilitated the right connections and relationships and been there to advocate or support them. And now you can stop going and they're the new person and you haven't just kicked them into the deep end. And the other people in the room accept them as being one of that group, someone who can hold their own. And it's always a judgment call, but definitely worth considering. And obviously, I hope obviously... Yeah. So, you know, it is obvious that you don't delegate fully your attendance at your boss's staff meeting, nor your O3 with your boss, like your one-on-one with your boss that they have with you. But that should be blindingly obvious. And I definitely shouldn't have to say that part, but I'm going to say it. Someone doesn't go to your one-on-one with your manager on your behalf.
Yeah. Lastly, when it comes to being proactive, we want to standardize meeting behaviors. You may actually have a thought here. This comes last. Mm-hmm. We think there's always dead wood to cut among meetings. But you might think to yourself, you know, I think my gut tells me we're okay on meetings. But I'd like all of my meetings to be more effective. And so you need to standardize effective meeting behaviors. That's why, as we said earlier, there are some people who just don't like meetings, period. But there's also a healthy percentage of those who actually can tolerate meetings if they're well run, but no meeting is well run. And so they therefore hate all meetings.
Yeah. I would say a lot of those people that don't want to go to any of those meetings are because they're all poorly run meetings.
Yeah.
None of them seem useful.
Yeah. So you could do it one of two ways. You could make sure that the meetings you end up with after this process are run well, and we'll give you some guidance here in a minute. Or you could say, I'm going to do this first and see whether or not everybody's complaining about this meeting, but it's only because it's run like a circus.
Yeah.
And it's not being run professionally. And by God, in my team, we're going to run things professionally. And if you don't want to do the hard work gets a lot worse if we cancel all meetings and nobody knows what's going on. First of all, the boss is going to start implementing things that nobody will like in order to get things done.
Exactly.
And I do want to mention here, this is a re-sharing of long-standing, I think it's been close to 20 years now, guidance on our core meeting guidance. And licensees can click on that guidance at the bottom of this cast show notes. Only licensees can get printed version of these show notes. I think they'd probably be 6 or 7 or 8 pages long, right, Sarah?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're going to do a very, very condensed version of that in this cast. And if you're a non-licensee and you can't click at the bottom of the show notes because you can't even see them, the guidance would be found in our podcasts called How to Run Your Staff Meeting and Effective Meetings.
Well, yeah, Effective Meetings, also called Get Out of Jail, right?
Get Out of Jail, exactly.
And we've got links at the bottom of this for the Delta File, for those of you who don't know it or want a refresher. Mm-hmm. And also the first rule for new managers, which is wait 90 days. And also we've got a link to the guidance on rolling out the Trinity as well.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so that core condensed how to run effective meetings guidance that we're going to put into this cast. So those of you who are listening today have it. The first of which is pre-publish an agenda. Make sure meetings have agendas. Many of the meetings that you're talking about or that we're talking about, the ones that you've kept definitely, should have standing agendas.
So you don't have to create a new one every week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not one-off. They're just same every week. And make it known that the failure to have an agenda is the reason for attendees skipping the meeting.
Yeah, that's a legitimate, the attendee could say, I didn't get an agenda.
There's no agenda. I don't even know what's being discussed.
Yeah. Now, you're going to have some people, this happened to me about 30 years ago, you're going to have some people say, I didn't get the agenda. So for a while, I was telling people, you're going to email me, the delivery, the agenda as well, of all the meetings, everybody. And I went into a folder called meeting agendas so that I could validate, no, that guy got it. Oh, no, mail didn't work to me. It went to everybody else, but not to me. Nope. And I would, of course, give that person negative feedback. And by the way, if you don't know how to figure out an agenda for a meeting, I think we have a dead simple or make it a dirty, down and dirty meeting agenda. You got four topics. You got an hour-long meeting. First one is 15 minutes, second one 15. And then you adjust based on each meeting you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, speaking of agendas, you can't do this with external meetings.
Exactly. With external meetings, there's a little bit less control on your part. And we'll say it again. Once your team starts having efficient and effective meetings, going to right, exactly. Going to other meetings that are normally run, which is to say poorly, is going to be painful. But encourage your external meeting attendees to offer up those suggestions periodically. I mean, say, hey, I was thinking maybe we could follow this agenda next time. It could be a standing agenda for the meeting. They could absolutely say that. People will say it can't be done, but we've got some data. Amazon runs their meetings completely differently. And you'd be crazy to try and have a meeting there without meeting their very different, very powerful organizational standards around running meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, Google. Mark, you worked with Google.
Yeah. They don't allow laptops open during meetings, or at least they didn't when I was there years ago. And you wouldn't want to be in a meeting there with your laptop open because that was your note-taking style, which actually happened right in front of my eyes. And Eric Schmidt closed a laptop of a new hire who said, I want to... Anyway, great story. I've shared it before. Yeah, next. Start on time. Don't wait for stragglers, folks. Just start. Say welcome. And go to your first agenda item. In a meeting or two, there won't be any more stragglers.
Yeah, they'll learn.
You do not need to apologize, feel guilty, or wonder what will happen when you start a meeting on time. When someone says, we always wait for stragglers, not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's cyclical. You don't even realize it. You wait for people to be, or you wait a few minutes for a couple of people to arrive. Then those people learn, oh, they'll wait for me to arrive.
Yeah.
And so you wait. And then they know that you'll wait. And then it just becomes this, both parties think that they're not the one doing it wrong because this is how it's done.
Yeah.
Additionally, we'd recommend you set some ground rules. So we have a full podcast on meeting ground rules, but
we do.
A few to start with are send an agenda in advance, finish on time, stick to your agenda, use a parking lot, and use a facilitator. Another great rule is the one at a time rule. That is when someone is talking, everyone else is quiet. Another good one, another very important, my favorite, no cell phones, or at the very least having them on vibrate so that you're not hearing them pinging or ringing during the meeting itself. Vibrate in your pocket so they might know what's going, but not anyone else. And no laptops for note taking. If you allow laptops to be used for note-taking, they will be used for mail and instant message.
Texting,
they will.
Texting, Slack, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, we should say, no laptops with Joey air quotes note-taking.
Exactly. Because that's what they will be used for.
Yeah. Next sort of common ground rules. Stick to your agenda. Start with a requirement, as we mentioned, to have an agenda. It can be rough and simple, as we mentioned. We have guidance about that. And when you're near the end of an agenda item, let everybody know it's about time to wrap up. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons meetings run long, is there's four items and the first one takes three quarters of the meeting.
It's like the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. I mean, you don't want to be the last one.
The first guy was, yeah, exactly. The first guy was 15 minutes long, and then it just got worse from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Additionally, use a parking lot to help you facilitate what Mark just mentioned in regards to sticking to your agenda. Tell attendees, if an item runs long, you'll continue that item in the 5-minute parking lot agenda item at the end of the meeting. Topics that are brought up during the meeting that are not on the agenda will also be put into the parking lot for discussion at the end of the meeting. And you should know, having a 5-minute parking lot agenda item is going to cause the vast majority of your meetings to finish 5 minutes early.
Yes.
Because you're going to get there and say, okay, what do we have in the parking lot? And there will be nothing in the parking lot. And now we're out 5 minutes early. And now we can all get a coffee or go to the restroom before we have to go into our next meeting, which would be ideal.
Yeah. Speaking of how long meetings take, we have guidance about how to turn an hour-long meeting into a 45-minute meeting. And once you put all this stuff in place, then you can drive your people to say no more hour-long meetings.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fix responsibilities. This is my personal favorite. Before moving on to the next agenda item, make sure you publicly fix who's going to do what by when. Horseman's Law of Project Management. So, Elena, you're going to send a mail to everyone here telling us budget status by Tuesday noon, right? Her public acknowledgement of that question, saying, yeah, boss, right, vastly increases the chances that that work will get done. And too many meetings do this abysmally. And everyone knows that people agree to things. And everyone who agreed to things thinks no one will remember. And so I don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And then there is finish on time. Now, the vast majority of times meetings run long is because there's no agenda. If you have an agenda, you're already well ahead of the curve. And if you stick to your agenda, finishing on time is easy. And if you're still talking at your agenda end time, just say, the meeting is over. Like, yeah. Like literally say,
we're adjourned.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we're adjourned. And if someone wants to stay and then chat about it more, that's their business. But if you're running the meeting, get up and start walking out. Or if you're virtually in a meeting, just hang up because it's over.
And the first couple of times you do this, people are like, what are you doing? He says, look, dude, we started on time. We're finishing on time. I respect you too much to let this thing run long. We can't respect every item and have every 45-minute meeting last an hour and a half. We respect everybody all the time by saying, we believe it will take this long. Now, if I'm wrong and we need to talk about some of this stuff some other way, it's my responsibility to do it. I'm running the meeting. I'll get it done. But I'm not going to do this to you guys. I'm not. I respect it too much. Okay, next item. Publish notes. And by the way, not minutes, notes. Everybody stop saying minutes. There's no business other than board meetings, which are legally required, that take minutes. Minutes are a thing that come from Robert's Rules of Orders. It's very particular. Corporate, professional, organizational meetings are not run based on Robert's Rules of Orders. Holy Toledo. Assign somebody to take notes, which are basically nothing more than decisions that are made and tasks that are assigned. Handwritten is fine. Have the note taker take a picture with their phone of the notes they took and text it to everyone immediately. You got mission accomplished there. And the one thing you can do is when you send out your agenda, if there are four items on it, space it out so it's not all right at the top. And don't just put it in an email, put it in a document, although you could put it in an email space document, so that each item has room for the note taker between the agenda items to handwrite their notes. It just makes things so much easier.
So much easier and faster and all of it. Okay. Then there is continuously improve. Periodically ask for suggestions to make the meeting better. I mean, could it be shorter? Could there be a different agenda? Could we do it in a different location? Any number of things that could make that meeting go better. Just because we've improved it once doesn't mean we shouldn't continue to look for opportunities to improve that meeting.
Yeah. Something else. The previous guy didn't do this, and that's why you're having to clean up his or her meeting mess. Let's not do that. Last item, use a facilitator. Just because it's your meeting, guys, doesn't mean you should be the one running it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to hear my 5-minute explanation about why that is, but believe me, you're not supposed to run your own meetings. Delegate it to somebody so they'll learn how to run meetings. Rotate the delegation so all your directs learn how to run a meeting. Spread the joy of effective meetings organically, please.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, folks, to remind you, there are more and more suggestions in the more detailed guidance, in our effective meetings guidance. And again, licensees, there are links to the bottom of the show notes, or sorry, there are links at the bottom of the show notes to all of these other bits of guidance if you haven't listened or you want a reminder of the guidance.
Okay, who's going to summarize, you or me?
I'm going to summarize. I think I'm going to summarize good. Since it is my podcast and you are my guest.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Don't forget your role, sir. Okay, so to wrap it all up, an effective manager is a proactive manager. We don't accept things that are the way they've always been or the way they're supposed to be. The world and your market and your customers and your company are constantly changing. Meetings live lives that are far too long only due to lack of attention. And the proactive manager finds meetings that are unnecessary or poorly run and eliminates the waste, makes the meetings that remain effective, makes sure the right people are in attendance with an eye towards smaller meetings and more attendees being, or more attendance being delegated to the individual that's better off attending.
Good. Right.
Well, thank you for joining us, Mark.
Thanks for allowing me to be a guest. It's a privilege.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you again for joining us for this important chapter on running meetings. Join us again next week as we dive into a brand new topic.